Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight I want to welcome back to the show Karen Holton, Dave Emmons, and Cameron Brower. They've all been on before, and they all have something in common. They've all had some sort of off-planet contact. Welcome, all of you. How are you tonight?
Fine.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Well, welcome.
Glad to be here.
I wanted to bring a group of people together that have had contact experiences, not necessarily similar experiences, but so we can learn more about the phenomenon, we can compare these experiences, and there's so many different types. There's the physical, non-physical, there's contact during dream states, and I think it's important to understand all these aspects. I think we can learn a lot from each individual's story. But first, let's go around the group, introduce yourselves. Just tell us a little bit about your background and what you do. And let's start with Karen.
Hi, I'm Karen Holton, and I have a YouTube channel called Karen Holton. And I have a talk show where I invite people who are basically awakened beings who've gotten over the shock and awe of being awakened. And then now they are doing things with their lives to help other people. I also have my own brand of Orgone generators. I have a website, and I produce a fair amount of videos about my off-world experiences. And I guess that's save room for other people.
All right, thank you. And let's move on to Dave. Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my background, of course, I've come up through the military and had my own businesses and got into journalism. And that's part of why I'm interested in this, keeping notes. And also I was in radio journalism. So it's like I'm older now and I'm returning back to my roots, back from when I was in my 20s and 30s. But no, I'm here because I guess I've had quite a few experiences starting at the age of 14. I saw my first saucer then. And with a good friend of mine. And then it went through the years, and I've seen several things, and other things have happened, paranormal things. We just talked about the A-ports a while ago, and I've got pictures of those, the little things that just come out of nowhere. I don't know if Cameron or you guys know about those A-port things. I was talking to Linda Moulton Hall, and she didn't know much about the subject. I told her, I said, talk to Grant Cameron. He knows a little bit. He's writing a book, and he's got some pictures and stuff. So I'm here because I'm trying to find the truth. And when I'm hosting on a couple of other networks, and I'm hosting and then I'm guesting some. Is that right word, guesting, or just being a guest?
Good enough. Guesting sounds good to me.
How about guessing? Yeah. That's me.
All right. Very good. And Cameron.
Hey, Chris. I'm Cameron Brower, and I host a podcast called My Alien Life. And we're kind of wrapping up right now, about a year of that, and I've had quite a few experiences myself, starting when I was a child. And my goal really is to have people on and network with them and communicate, so we can share ideas and share our experiences and grow as a community and become strong.
Definitely. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have all you here tonight. Each of your experiences, from what I remember, are completely different, especially Karen's. Karen is probably one of the most unique out of the three of you. Hers, I believe, are completely non-physical, right?
As far as I know.
Okay. Well, let's start with you, Karen. Tell us, I guess, one of the more profound experiences you've had. Tell us about the beings you may have engaged with, and if it was a positive experience, and, you know, what, how you came away feeling from that experience.
Well, I have a number of different relationships with off-worlders and different kinds of off-worlders. I'm from a multi-generational history of contactee, but not abduction, which is quite different, both on my mother's side and my father's side. And I have always been extremely sensitive to being able to have contact I would say non-physical contact, because they give me downloads and they communicate with me, but nobody else can hear it. I can't hear it with my physical ears, but it's all inside my mind. It's never in English. It's always in short, lucid dreams, or it's in just spontaneous knowing. And then, of course, I get downloads, which I then produce information. That's how I got the quantum health transformation program, so that I could introduce that to everyone. So So some of the beings that I communicate with, I've never physically seen. However, then there is the intergalactic resettlement program that I'm involved in, and that sort of came out of me being an ambassador, an exopolitical ambassador to this group of beings. Now, these beings are very, very human-like. They are, I believe, the same species as us, just different races. And this resettlement program has been going on for thousands of years, because it's not unusual, because planets go through their cycles of populations needing to be moved. And so basically, I'll try to make it really short, but what happens is when beings on a planet have gotten to the point where they can hold the frequency so that they can communicate, that their lives are changed and more meaningful, that they take good care of their body temples, and they have a level of spirituality, then we can contact them and they can include us in their programs. And this is how it's been done for thousands of years. And So it's not something where, the Earth is in trouble, a spaceship shows up and picks everybody up. It doesn't work like that at all from my experience. But I would never negate anyone else's experience. It's a huge universe. It's a huge galaxy. There are so many types of beings. And once we get beyond the three-dimensional, there are beings in the three-dimensional, but there's so many other beings in other dimensions that I really could never say that I know all about all of them. I only know a fraction of the beings that are out there, and my experiences have mostly been non-physical with them. However, as I told you before about the clone system, there are ways of getting there and being there that don't necessarily involve our bodies.
Very interesting. Okay, now let's move to Dave. Same question for you, Dave. Just tell us a little bit maybe about one of the more profound experiences you've had, the types of beings you may have encountered, and how you came away feeling. Was it a positive experience?
Well, my first experience when I was 14 with a good friend of mine, he's my best friend today, and we talk about the incident when we get together. And it was a summer night. We were just out of school, and I was 14, he was 13. And we're listening to our 10 transistor radio and drinking Pepsi from a glass bottle back in those days. And the radio started having static. And I asked him if he changed the batteries. And he said, yeah, I just did. And I said, well, something's wrong. And then we smelled something that smelled like sulfur. And to come find out years later, when I got more into this stuff, I found out that was ozone. That's what happens at the bottom of a craft when it comes through our atmosphere, and it gets hot and it kind of burns the nitrogen, carbon monoxide, and oxygen. Carbon dioxide. Yeah, those four. It starts burning those four. And what happens is it creates a sulfur or ozone smell, from what I gather now. Well, we went up on the road and we watched that two bright lights, small lights, not big like the triangular craft that I saw. But they were smaller, bright lights, and it had a little red light up on top in the back of it. And we walked up to this empty lot, and he kept flashing the light at it. And we went up there in the empty lot, and we stood there, and we looked at it. This thing was only about, I'd have to guess, 60, 70 feet off the ground. It was about 30 feet wide in diameter, and it was about 12 feet high, something like that. And it looked like one of those old tops that you kind of cranked. Back in the old days, you guys are probably too young to remember those, but it was kind of like chubby little rings, three rings, one small on the top. The bottom looked really dark, and like it was, I guess it got hot. The second row it looked like it had portals or windows to it. And I told my buddy, I said, I'm afraid to look at those windows. I don't want to see what they look like. We knew from these 1950s and early 60s space movies, these Martian movies, that we were a little afraid. And my mom kept telling us that back in those days, the radio used to tell you, if you see a saucer on the ground, kids, stay away from it. It was kind of like, it's kind of like a public warning or something. And my mom was always afraid of that. And I didn't know until later that she saw a UFO when she was younger with her family. But my buddy and I poked each other, and we wanted to make sure we was awake and what we were seeing. And I asked him, I said, what do you see? And he says, I see the same thing you do. And I said, this is weird. And we stood there for a little while, and then something just stopped. Maybe time just stopped because it was about 10:30 at night, and we couldn't keep track of the time. We figured it was about midnight by the time we got in the house. Of course, we were kids. We didn't have watches. We didn't care about time. But I knew I was in trouble because I got in late, and the doors were locked, and my mom was mad. And my buddy, he got home, and he told his dad, he said, I just saw a UFO. He goes, okay, son, go back to bed, you know. So my mom told me the same thing, said, get your butt in the house and go to bed. But what we kind of witnessed was something that I think it was kind of like shock and awe when you first see one, especially your first one. And you're standing there and you're trying to make out what it is. And him and I kept talking to each other about it. And we were afraid to tell anybody. Back then, you were just afraid. Nowadays, I'm not so much afraid. 45% of the people, they actually have a belief in some sort of UFO craft or whatever. But we had missing time, and I'm the type of person, I told you I got involved in journalism earlier, I'm the type of person I keep notes. I got a 270-page ledger that I'm thinking about maybe writing a couple of books. I'm not sure yet, but I'm just doing the talk radio circuit right now. But about 3 weeks later, I'd say maybe 2 to 3 weeks later, the second fact, they come to tell me that something happened. In my left testicle, there was something that was a little lump, and I felt it. And then I looked down a little closer, and I saw a red line that cut. It looked like a cut, a real fine cut. It was red, and I couldn't understand. Why was it so red? It was a red cut. And I kept pushing this little thing out towards that red spot, and I had enough sense to know, even at 14, that something was cut and put in there. So I pushed it out. I put it in my hand, and it was ash color, kind of a real light tan color. As I held it in my hand, it started turning brown. It started, dissolving. I showed it to my mom, and she said, that's just a blackhead or something that was, that got caught in your skin. I said, no, it wasn't, Mom. I said, there's a hole cut for it. And then she looked at me kind of puzzled, and she didn't know what to say. And she said, a hole? I said, yeah, there was a hole cut for it where it went in, and I just took it back out the same hole. And she stood there. She said, well, throw it away, you know. So back then, I threw it away. But the other implant that I got, I took a bunch of pictures of. So I have pictures of that one.
You've had multiple implants?
Yes. I've had two that I know for sure. And I might have one in this thumb. And the doctor felt of it. And it kind of moves around a little bit. And it doesn't bother me. But it seems like it could have been cut right there at the groove of the thumb. And then, but it's the doctor felt of it. And he asked me, he said, does it bother you? I said, no, not really. I didn't want to tell him, because I've had to talk to him about giving me x-rays because of the TSA finding orange spots across my body when I go through this frequency tester. Happened twice, and they kind of pulled me off and inspected me all over the place. So I don't want to tell doctors that's one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to tell a doctor, I think that's a UFO implant. They'll say, get out of here. So, yeah, no, that's I guess we need to share.
Well, yeah, no, that's very interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Cameron, what about you? Tell us a bit about one of your more profound experiences.
Thanks again for letting me join you guys tonight, Chris. I guess, one of the things that if we're going to try to convey why and what we've been through has been different from each other, one of the things that I came away with, and I'll go back to where it started later, but was kind of a basic understanding And when by that I mean, I never had any questions. If I was in the presence of some sort of being that I didn't know about or had never seen before, anytime I had a question, the answer was immediately, I'm not going to say put into my mind, but essentially yes, because there were times when, for example, I was in high school and I was with a couple of friends and we had an experience where we were out on out late at night and had a blowout tire on my car, and I was with two other friends and we were out there changing this tire. We finished and without really any warning, we were engulfed by this thing. And the only way I could describe it is some sort of vehicle or some sort of place that was inhabited by extraterrestrials. So when we were in this presence inside of this vehicle, and one thing that I really regret not questioning was, you know, what are we in? What is this thing and how does it work? There were so many other things that were in my mind. And when something would pop into my mind, it was answered. All of a sudden, I just knew. It was like I knew it all along. But for example, one of my friends was standing before, you know, this gray, and this gray was showing him objects. Now, when I say showing objects, I couldn't actually see these objects, but I knew they were there. And I don't think they were objects. Well, I know they weren't objects in the physical sense, but maybe, you know, some sort of, and the only thing I could think of was hologram, but it's not really a hologram. It's the way that these objects, common objects that we have on Earth, can be portrayed in front of, between a human being and one of these extraterrestrials or grays. And it was showing my friend these objects, common objects. I know one of them was a football, and you know, why? I mean, that was my question. Why are you showing my friends these common objects? Well, you know, these were objects that obviously we spent a lot of time with. So these beings had no possession. They didn't own anything. They didn't have any desire to own anything. And so this was a way of trying to figure out, you know, why these things were so important to us. And, why we plan our whole lives around these everyday ordinary objects that we seem to carry with us all the time. So it was just this really odd circumstance. Me and two friends, all of a sudden, we're in this craft. One of the things that they really wanted to figure out was why we had so much value of objects, why we owned property, why we owned things, why we do what we do. And in my experience, I feel that they observe us because they don't get that, you know, and that's one of the things that, and one of the reasons why that we've been under such scrutiny. And I don't know about implants. I don't think I've ever had one, but to me, when I think about that, it wouldn't make sense for them to keep track of us and have a way of monitoring our behavior, because it is so entirely unusual. We can look at people on our own planet who have a different way of life and be totally mesmerized, and we can have anthropologists who study tribes for over 100 years, and yet, you know, we think we have all the answers and many of the answers why these beings are watching us, but we don't have a clue, and we don't have a clue because they don't have a clue about us. So that's, Chris, that's what I came out with from the whole thing. But it's much deeper than that, and there's knowledge there, and there's understanding, and I don't share that too much, only because I know everybody is very opinionated and they have reasons to believe what they believe, and right now I'm just trying to learn what everybody else has gone through, and you know, their beliefs and their feelings about what has happened to them.
Very well said. Now, as far as the beings that you were interacting with, were they more of humanoid beings, or are they like more of the classic gray? Would you be able to describe them?
Yeah, it's basically any artist depictions that we throw around on Facebook, wherever, just so similar. I've seen a couple, at least 3 to 5 grays, and when I say 3 to 5, I may have seen the same ones more than once, but short little, I call them guys, short little guys, but with one, noted difference. They're the very first one that I remember seeing was taller, possibly over 6 foot tall, and drawn out. And to me, it was a being that was much older than the rest. And for some reason, this one was my handler, that for a lack of a better term. And it was always there with me whenever I was in the presence of others, or, in the presence of somewhere else that I suddenly found myself being. In with that was always missing time, big time gaps. There were other time gaps that I don't have any account to go with it, other than just a gap in time or a period of lost time. But there was, that period of lost time that I was definitely with these other beings and spent some significant time with them. How much, I couldn't really tell you, because time was different. But another thing was too, that it was a real terrifying experience for me. Anybody else that was with me, they don't remember. And I've never talked about it with these other two friends who experienced that with me. Will I? Yeah, probably someday, but not for a while. I need to understand this myself first, which I've been on a quest to understand that for a very, very long time. And, it's only been the last year networking with people like you folks that, I'm beginning to get at least a piece of the puzzle that makes sense. So.
Very good. And thank you for that. Now, Karen, most of your experiences, well, pretty much all of them have been positive experiences, and they've been learning experiences, right? Do you think that these beings, I guess, bestow knowledge to certain individuals? It seems like certain individuals have different type of contact, but the more positive experiences with these beings, do you think certain people are picked for this?
I do, and I don't think it's because we're special in any way, other than the fact that we have some genetics that I believe have been altered through the different generations with contact, but we're very good receivers. And so, like, I pick up beings that are non-corporeal beings that are not ETs. I pick up interdimensionals. I pick up some angels. I pick up one type of ET who does somehow resemble the grays, not really, but a little bit. I call him Bob. He gives me information. He's always there. He's like a mentor to me. But these other beings, I don't consciously reach out and connect to any specific one. I'm just a very good wide range receiver. And that's all I know. And I used to think that everyone was like me. And then I started finding out that other people aren't like me. And I don't really know 100% why. And I also don't have 100% of my memories. I've been told that generally our memories are white, because it's very difficult to fit back into society having these amazing experiences, especially, when I'm gone for 3 months Earth time, which translates to 3 years ET time. I'm involved in some really big projects. I'm surprised how much I do remember, but I think the reason I remember is because I'm supposed to, because the call came. It's time to start coming out of the closet, telling people, and we'll let you know what you need to say if you can't remember. And so the memories have just been coming, and one memory seems to trigger another. And it's funny because back when this was happening to me and I tried to tell people, they all thought I was just a nutter. They just, and I got tired of that type of, you know, response and being a killjoy all the time. People just don't want to hear about it, don't want to go there. And so I just shut up about it. And then I started finding community. Nothing happens to me by accident. It's just I meet the right people, the right place, the right time. And now I am completely 100%, my whole life, my whole focus is devoted to sharing the information that I know and helping people to come to a healthier, happier place and realize this is not all there is.
Now, I'm going to ask all of you the same question, and I want to stay on you with this one, Karen. Do you think... it's along the same lines. Do you think that certain people are seeing UFOs and just, you know, having these paranormal type experiences? For some reason, I have never had a paranormal experience that I know of. I've never seen a UFO. I've never, you know, encountered anything of the sort. I know it exists. That's why, obviously, why I'm doing this show. But I'd love to see a UFO. I'd love to, you know, say hello to ET, but, you know, it just doesn't happen. So I'm just wondering, you know, what is it about some people that, you know, they have contact all the time and some people, even though they want it so badly, it's just not happening, you know?
Yeah, I can't say for sure for other people because we are a diverse community of humans. We really are. And so I can't really speak for other people, but I do believe that right now more people are having more experiences. I think, Chris, that you just don't remember. And I actually would like to work with you and teach you some techniques to help you to remember. A lot of people are very distracted. I'm not. I'm very focused. I used to be like everyone else, where the inside of my head was like a mall at Christmas time. It's not anymore. I can quieten it all down and be extremely focused. And I also have techniques for recognizing when I'm being communicated with. And it's a little bit like peripheral vision. We're not aware of our peripheral vision unless we notice our peripheral vision. And then if we train ourselves, it's amazing how much we can see with our peripheral vision. It's the same thing, except it's consciousness. So you get it bubbling in at the edges. It's subtle. It's very subtle until we learn to pick it up and then to start cooperating with it. So, I think personally, thousands, if not millions of us have had contact. I think that for our own comfort, safety, and health, a lot of us don't remember. Come on, what happens when we go out and start talking about our experiences with the mainstream? They can't handle it, especially white people. You gotta lie to white people. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying. But my point is that it's completely outside of people's experience. They don't have a concept for it. They don't have a point where they can even meet me to talk about these things. And I don't want to scare people, and neither do my contacts, my off-world contacts. The last thing they want to do is scare anybody or cause any grief. They have a pretty good compassion for what we're going through here on Earth, especially today. And they don't wish to add to that discomfort any more than usual. The other thing about me is I've always been an oddball. I've always been attracted to people outside the box. I've always had friends that are way outside the box. I spend all my time outside of the box. And it's where I'm more comfortable. I am way more comfortable outside of the box, talking to you folks, than I am maybe going to a tea party over at the neighbor's house and having a coffee, and God only knows what they talk about. It just is not that exciting to me.
Right, exactly.
Sorry, to answer your question, I get off on tangent.
Oh, yeah, that was perfect. Thanks. So, Dave, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think everybody has some level of contact and they don't remember it, or do you think it's just certain individuals that they want to speak to and certain people that they don't? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I listened to Dr. David Jacobs quite a bit when he's written some books, Aliens Walk Amongst Us. I also had a chance to talk to him at a Eureka Springs, Arkansas convention. And I told him about my abductions, listening and hearing a bunch of static electricity beside my bed, and they would hit me with it, and then I'd just go straight. And he told me, I told him, well, I guess I was abducted at that point. He said, no, they were bringing you back. Mm-hmm. So he studied that. He also said that 50%, getting to where Karen was at, 50% of the people that's been abducted, they don't know they've been abducted. They wake up in the morning, scratch their heads, go get their cup of coffee, say, wow, that was kind of a weird dream. And then they go about their way, just like Karen was saying. But I think Karen's an empath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can feel things around you. I had the peripheral thing too going for me. I look at the sides of people's heads to get the messages. I don't know if that's what happens to you, but I think through my experiences being electrocuted almost a couple of times, I've been charged, and I guess the implants and the way they recognize this, I think there's several ways. There was theories that it was Native American Indian that they were tracking. That's not going to hold a lot of water, but there's a lot of different theories on how they track us and who they find or who they look for. They say it travels in families. I think I can admit to that because my family has had some experiences, and my mom especially. So I think it's kind of a DNA thing. And once they put an implant in you, or if they charge you, your DNA is charged with a frequency they can identify. And they can pick you up from Illinois to Alaska, where I lived for 2 years, and they knew I was there. They can pick you up anywhere on this planet, and it's a vibration. Everything's a vibration. I think what they put in us, they vibrate our DNA. They actually, mostly, they made us. You go back in history, thousands of years, they were involved in and out of our human history. But my contact experiences, I had another one. I met a little gray. I was talking about what Cameron was talking about. It was one night about 1:30 in the morning. It was really dark in the bedroom. My ex-wife liked it dark, so she covered the windows. And I thought my daughter walked into the room to go to the medicine cabinet in the master bedroom to pick up some aspirin because she had a headache. And I kept calling out her name. And there's a dark image went across the mirror, the dresser mirror. And I called her name out again. She didn't answer. So I put my head in my palm and I looked around, and here comes the side of my bed, about a 3.5 foot, kind of ugly looking thing. It was a gray, but it was greenish in color, and it had real big wrinkles. It didn't have the typical really smooth skin, commercial skin that you see a lot of these little grays have. This one had a lot of wrinkles. He had big eyes, but he didn't have the black covers on. You can see the pupils, the whites of his eyes, and they were twice as big as ours, but they were kind of like little slanted to the side. But I just noticed the ugly wrinkles, and he was dark gray with a greenish tinge to him. And I felt fear for about 5 or 6 seconds. And then all of a sudden I felt like, wow. And I fell off to sleep. I didn't know anything would happen after that. Didn't even keep track of time, because what they do when they hit you with this electromagnetic energy, they kind of give you doses in different doses, smaller doses, larger doses. You can kind of put it together like it's an anesthetic, what they give you. They kind of give you a twilight shot, and then they give you an anesthetic to knock you out for surgery. Well, they do the same thing, but they do it with frequencies. They do it with magnetic energy. Well, I went out, and when I woke up, I asked my wife, said, did you see or hear anything? She goes, no, go to bed. I went to the bathroom because my eyes were flickering. It was a nervous tick. I mean, I couldn't stop them from flickering. I threw water in my face, and I thought to myself, what's going on? And I thought I'd never get my eyes to stop flickering. So I laid back down. I said, no, I can't go back to sleep. I was too energized. So I went in the living room, watched TV, and I had to go to work at 5:30 that morning. So I didn't have much time to play with. So that was my second incident. That was about 25 years later after my first one. So they wait in timing, or maybe I was too busy. I was playing rock music, going to school part-time, and working. So I was so busy, maybe I was so tired, I didn't catch some of the things that they might have been monitoring me for. So I don't know. But, yeah, to get to your point, I think it's a DNA frequency they pick up. Because I had a hybrid situation where she picked up on my frequency. She knew where I was at. I might get to that later. I'm taking too much time.
No, you're good. Very interesting. And Cameron, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's DNA? Do you think it's just a person's consciousness, state of mind, or do they just want a certain type of person? What are your thoughts on that?
One of the things that I think is really, really worth mentioning is the fact that people have a normal response, and I think everybody up to a degree have a response of fear, self-preservation. So in my case, for example, all the experiences that I had were loaded with fear, and I believe that there's a reason for that. And I believe the reason is because my mind isn't like other people's. I've grown up with diabetes, have sugar surges and lows and highs, and so my mind doesn't always work the same as other people. And back when it was uncontrolled, when I was a kid, when they really didn't know that it was diabetes, I would have minor seizures and things like that. So to me, that's what made me different. And the other thing was that I as a kid and a little kid, let me just put it this way. I didn't play well with others. I mean, I was a good kid, but, I was a little bit hyper at times. And, so when I'm in the presence of these things, these extraterrestrial organisms, they have a hard time dealing with me. So for example, again, same situation. I'm with these and with two friends, and they're interacting with my two friends, and my two friends are totally complacent. They don't know what's going on. They're observing my friends, and my friends appear to be observing these things standing in front of them. But of course, afterwards, they didn't have any memory. They didn't have any recollection of that at all. Where in my case, most of the time, I'm assuming I have a recollection and a memory of this. And I knew, when you jack me up and you instill this fear response in me, a couple of things happen. I'll have a release of adrenaline and a spike in sugar in my blood, and followed by a crash. Those are two real violent things that are happening in my body and in my brain. So in order to read me, I believe, it became impossible. So for some reason, I was set with this organism that was much older to me I thought, and when I say older, I'm talking about centuries. I think these are very, very old organisms and can be very, very old. So this thing is always standing beside me or in front of me. And while other things are happening, in other situations. So I would feel myself have this adrenaline rush and this taller organism next to me, and a lot of times to my right hand side, couldn't handle it, and I felt that we were connected in a way, and this organism couldn't handle it. It couldn't handle me. It couldn't handle what it perceived as some sort of maybe violent storm in my brain, which is true. And it basically was just frozen, almost like in fear. Every time I saw this thing, I mean, other than a couple of exceptions where it was moving, it was, to me, looked a downturned mouth and looked frozen in fear. So you think about this, and the things that they're doing, whether it be mentally or physically, are very invasive to us. I've heard people say many, many times that, what a blessing it's been that, I've been put in this circumstance, or, what peace I felt. Well, they can make you perceive anything that they want you to perceive. And if it's happy time for you, that's great. I mean, go with it. But again, they're introducing instruments into our bodies. They're introducing God knows what in our thoughts. And it's invasive. It's undesirable. It's harmful. And you can come away with it feeling great afterwards, but you know, deep down there's going to be some residual effects that somehow or some way will make their appearance later. And hopefully that doesn't happen, but I just wonder, and I can always feel that that kind of would be a product of that. In my own example, every experience has been fairly bad. There was a couple that were neutral, but you know, as far as fear, the fear factor. And the other thing was that, you know, in order to cope with this, people build up walls and different things like that. And they parallel those same, you know, abuse scenarios that we would find, you know, with human on human activity. So there's that. And, you know, I've seen that. I talk to people. I have people that text me and email me all day long. Every time I have a new show, bam, my phone's going off all day long, you know, and I hear a lot of really, really bad stuff. So they're out there.
Well, thank you for that. You know, and that's why, you know, I love having these different experiences on. So it's a broad phenomenon. I mean, there's people that have the negative experiences like yourself. There's people or neutral experiences. Karen has positive experiences. Dave, it seems, has had a little bit of both and right. You know, in between. So, but what I want to talk about next is something that I can, it's something, a feeling I have in my gut. Right now, I notice that a lot of people are going through an awakening throughout the whole planet. A lot of people are noticing things that they haven't noticed before. They're kind of opening their minds to things that they wouldn't have a few years ago. Like even my parents, they're opening their minds to some of the more conspiratorial things that are going on behind the scenes. Especially, you know, people are talking about UFOs now, talking about aliens openly. And I just have this gut feeling that something big is in our future, in our lifetime, that we may see something that will be, you know, a worldwide phenomenon to where, you know, it's going to be disclosure. It's going to happen. I don't think it's going to come from our government. But is this something that you all feel too, or that you get a sense of? Let's start with Karen.
Well, I definitely feel that things are coming to a head. And with the way that we're able to, like, for instance, just watching your show, we learn so much about what's going on in the world. And we have questions. And those of us who are outside of the box, I think it's easier for us to assimilate this new information. But we are definitely coming to a head. It isn't just us. It isn't just it's the space weather. It's the what's going on our planet. It's like our whole planet is starting to come apart. People are waking up. We're finding out about mass corruption scandals in religion, government, the economic system is coming to an end. And I believe that's why I am doing the work that I'm doing. I'm trying to get people to raise their frequency and let them know that they don't need to be afraid. Now, I'm not saying that the other guests on the show are, I'm not invalidating their experiences at all. I would never do that. I think that there's different levels of frequencies of ETs and beings that are all interested in what's going on the planet right now. But my group is very much wanting us to come into our power. And how are we going to come into our power if we don't wake up and realize that we're not in our power? Now we can start coming into our power. We can start going, okay, I've been told this is how reality is all my life. Well, guess what? Now I'm defining my reality. What is it I want? How do I want to treat people? What kind of a person do I want to be? And it's a complete shift. And a lot of people can't make the complete shift. So they start waking up, but they don't start to care for their bodies in a different way. They don't start to question, like, if the political system and the religious system is corrupt, what about our food supply systems? What about technology? What is that doing to us? There's so much. And so I think, and I've been told that there will be If it comes to an extinction level event, some of us will be able to evacuate and we'll be able to take the people we love and hold dear with us. But it is the hope of my contacts that we get our own, I'll say, poop together, because, you know, sometimes social media will ping you if I swear, and I am a bit of a swearer, I'll admit it. And but we need to get our poop together and wake up and take back our power, because the ruling elite can't have it anymore. And I don't want to get too political in a soapbox here, but I'm just saying, I agree with you 100%. Something's coming, something big. And I actually believe disclosure has already happened.
All right, Dave. So what are your thoughts on this? Do you get the feeling that something big is in our near future, in our lifetime, that we could possibly see communication with alien life? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think things are speeding up, and I have to go along with what Karen said. There seems a frequency temple that seemed to just keep going and going. And a lot of people are more aware of UFOs because of our cameras. They're taking more pictures. They're taking videos, and they're putting that on social media. And a lot of young people are picking up on it. So they're starting to believe that there's something out there. And we've been seeing more and more. And I didn't think I'd ever have this happen in my lifetime, but the military is coming out, and they even have videos with the TikTok, that type of thing. And they're coming out with it drip by drip. It's a dribble. And I don't think the higher ups want that right away. They don't want it right out. They don't want to put it out there and say, okay, there's ET out there, because number one, the military cannot defend us from ET because of their high tech. That's what they're afraid of, in a way. And the second thing is, they're afraid that a lot of people they're not going to take it so lightly. A lot of people have religious beliefs that tell them that there's no other life out there, and there's it can't happen. There's no way there's an ET. I talk to Christians, and most of the Christians they see that I do UFO radio. They'll say, you believe in UFOs? I said, yeah. And they say, I don't. And they look at you strange and they walk away. Well, these people need to be woke, as they say, as Karen was talking about. They need to be awake and see what's around them. There is corruption. I think the moral fiber of this earth is starting to split apart with all the corruption. And I also believe that I was talking to Dr. Louis Turi. I had an interview with him a while back, and he talks about the reptilian being the right side of our brain and the draconians being the other side of the brain, and they fight with each other. One's good, one's evil. I'm not sure how far I'll push that theory, but that's just something that he talked about. But there's a good and bad. There's a negative and positive and everything that we do. But I think disclosure is going to come, like you were saying a while ago, it's not going to come directly from the government. I think it's going to be the people, the populace, that's going to see something or bear witness to something that's going to be huge, and then the government cannot stop it from getting out. Social media will explode it.
Very good. So what about you, Cameron? Do you think we're headed towards something profound, something big, something we've never seen before in our lifetime?
Well, yeah. Exactly. And just check out my Facebook page. I've had a few posts today, and I think that, you know, not that I stumbled upon it, the fact that, you know, it's newsworthy right now. And right now we're facing probably one of the biggest things that we've ever will witness in our universe. And we have this giant star that's 700 light years away that's getting ready to supernova. And to put that into perspective, you know, this Betelgeuse is such a huge body in space that if we put that in the center of our solar system, it would take up 2/3 of our entire solar system. So that's absolutely huge. So if our sun was that same size, it would actually be, you know, all the way out to the orbit of Saturn, which is immense. So you have this huge body in space. And the other thing is that once you take that object, which already takes up so much space, and obviously it has its own solar system, but when you have a supernova of that magnitude, you have a kill zone that we think could possibly be 50 light years, you know, in diameter. And that's in every direction, most likely in every direction. So take that little piece of space out there, which is 700 light years from us. And let's just say it's 100 light years that potentially is from 50 to 100 light years is potentially dangerous to most life. And beyond that, if you spent some time there, that's going to be detrimental to your health after spending, you know, a few years, let's say 250 light years away. So there's a chunk of space out there that's going to be uninhabitable. Now, picture, you know, 700 light years in every direct, in two different directions, or every different direction, three dimensionally, and how much space that is, and how much potential life can be in that, you know, whether it be life that we know or not, you know, is to be determined. But, you know, people or whoever or whatever's out there are going to need to be somewhere else. Ironically, where we are right now and what we call home is so safe. We have, you know, we have this environment, we have all these protective different features that were basically put there by nature, which it would include like the Van Allen belt, were hugely protected, you know, and, you know, we would be a great shield from that sort of thing, or a great, you know, a destination place for that sort of thing, especially for, you know, organisms or things out there that knew maybe 10,000 years ago that this was going to happen. And they started preparing for it, you know, and, you know, they knew they had time, and they knew they had, you know, just to find a few places that they could inhabit possibly. And, you know, we're maybe one of many, but, you know, you take, you know, 1400 light years, you know, in a, basically a 1400 by 1400 box in space, or even a gigantic sphere three-dimensionally, and that could be uninhabitable, you know, that there's a big change there in the universe. I mean, a universal change that we couldn't even have perceived 10 years ago, and now we're looking at it, and it's going to be quick. I mean, it's funny to note that you look on articles and different things about that star that at, you know, 5 years ago, that was the ninth brightest star in the sky. Now it's the 11th in just a year. So something major is happening there, you know, and we don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know what effect that's going to have. We don't have a clue. And we're predicting maybe 50 light years. There will be a kill zone. That's a long ways. And there's a big margin of error for that. So, I can't wait, man. I want to see it.
Yes, it's very fascinating, definitely. Now, Karen had briefly touched on this earlier. There is a lot of turmoil going on right now. There's, you know, saber rattling in the Middle East, you know, rumors of war. Now, in the past, there have been accounts of UFOs shutting down nuclear sites. Do you think that if it came down to it, that they would deter a nuclear attack? Start with Karen.
Oh, good question. I'm not 100% sure, I gotta say. I do know that there is plans in place for some kind of an evacuation. And I believe that they do have the power to shut down nukes and things like that. But you know, Chris, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm convinced from my contact with my beings that what's really the problem on Earth is that there is an extinction, a potential extinction level event that's naturally being caused by the universe, galaxy, solar system. I don't know, because the Earth itself is just busting apart. And that may be the intense frequencies that they are man-made that are overriding the natural Schumann resonance. I don't know, but we do know that frequency creates. We can see sand on a speaker and play music, and it'll go into different shapes and patterns. I forget what that's called. You would know what that's called. Cymatics, something like that. And so the thing is that I think all this baloney going on with the political arenas and all of that, they know that something big is coming. They're not telling us. They're running amok in the meantime, because in their minds, I believe they're thinking, well, we're all going to die anyway. We may as well run amok, pushing the social experiment to its limits. But all of that is to distract us from seeing what's really going on a natural level. Also, if we watch what's going on in the world, there are populations, thousands, millions of people on this earth that are really suffering. They've lost their homes, due to fires or floods or volcanoes, and we're not really there for each other, because we're all freaking out about American politics, or we're all freaking out about, you know, what our religious leaders are saying. And I think it's really just a whole ton of distraction to keep us from looking at the possibility that the planet's not going to be inhabitable for much longer.
Very interesting. And, you know, it makes sense, because, you know, I cover all this in my news reports. There is a lot going on with that, but that's a whole different show that we could talk about that for hours. Now, Dave, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that if it came down to it, that they would deter a nuclear war, or us destroying ourselves, basically?
Well, let's go back in history, what they've done to some of these nuclear bases. They actually played with them. They turned them off. They turned them back on. There's been about three or four nuclear sites that they went to. And they're trying to let us know that they can control these things. And there's about nine different aliens, I think they said, that visits this Earth quite a bit. And there's two or three of them that kind of run things for us. Aliens can be invisible. They can work in the hierarchy. They can be in our government. They're human beings. I've seen a few that kind of looked like that. I get some mail too, some emails and messages from people that are strange, and they talk strange things. And their profiles are real skinny. They don't really let out a whole lot about themselves. Sometimes they can scare you. They can talk about the CIA and the aliens following you. I know the aliens have followed me, but yeah, I think with this world, what's going on with it, academia and a lot of scientists, it's pros and cons on this. The world goes in cycles, 23,000 year cycles, and it kind of flips on its axis a little bit, about 23 degrees. We may be in that magnetic shift. They said we are. We're heading into kind of a magnetic shift. It's actually shifting a little bit now. That causes different weather. That causes all kinds of havoc here on the planet. So, you know, the polar caps melt. We get a lot of water. That's what could have happened in the extinction process back several thousands of years ago. We don't know exactly when Noah was involved in the old biblical stories. There's history there that you can look at and see. But I think the cycles of the Earth, I think those could be the problem, that we're seeing the shifts. But also, our leaders, they don't know too much about what's really going on. I think there's a higher power that's taking charge of things. We call it the shadow government, or the industrial complex. Eisenhower said that. Matter of fact, I know a guy who knows Eisenhower's granddaughter. She said that Eisenhower did meet with aliens in an Air Force base out in California. And she said they did talk. It was just only for a while. But they tried to talk about exchange of the technology and that type of thing. But I think the aliens are here. I met a hybrid, and I have all kinds of feelings about that. That really tells me it was a real meeting. But the thing, I know that they're here, and they walk amongst us. They are controlling us to a certain degree. You have some that's in probably been in the White House. They actually, I've heard stories of people who come in offices when somebody gets elected. I'm not trying to defend the politicians or our leaders. What I'm trying to say is that they get told what to do also. They're just talking heads. And the way it is, they probably know about as much as we do, probably. I heard stories. I think it was George Bush Jr. When he got elected and he was in the Oval Office, there was two guys that walked in black suits. He asked them, "How did you get in here?" And they had these top secret, crypto secret security badges, and that's how they got in there. They told him that there was an organization that he will never know about, or no president will ever know about. Area 51 is one of them, that they do things that they're not going to tell the president about, because they don't want the word out too much. They can only trust a few certain people, and the people they don't trust, they kill. So there you go. But they told him, "You're not going to do anything drastic. You'll hear from us." And then they walk back out. This happened to a couple of presidents. Happened to the governor in Minnesota, the wrestler guy. I forget his name. Same thing. He was in the basement of the Capitol building. There was 26 people sitting around in the meeting. And they asked him, they set him in the middle, asking, "What are you going to do as governor?" He told them what his agenda was. And they said, "Well, we're going to tell you what you'll do and what you won't do." And he said, "Who are you? We can't tell you." But they don't want big moves. They're in control of the world's banks. They're in control of our government, basically. So that's more than a theory, I think. It's sliding more into reality from what I see. And the aliens, there are some aliens who want us to live, and there's some that probably don't care. I think there's a fight over that, but I think the good ones are winning. I think we got two or three good ones. I met a tall, white woman, no hair. I met little gray. I met a man that spotted blue. So I know that they took good care of me. They didn't hurt me. And I know that I had spiritual feelings after each event. So I'm not so sure that the bad ones are winning. Like they said, the reptilians, they keep saying how bad they are, but apparently they must be in control by the others. So I think, I don't know, did I spill it out too much?
Oh, thank you for that. Now, what are your thoughts, Cameron? Do you think that they would intervene if needed?
So in my opinion, geologically, we're insignificant. Astronomically, we're meaningless. And I'm talking about people, us. But so right now we're living in more or less in a more secure than we probably have lived in, we're living much better than any generation before us. However, in response to what Dave was saying, we're seeing that humanity has been sort of desensitized by all the instant access that we have to information. We have short memories, and we've kind of become numb to the pain of others. And however, we're not immune to catastrophe. So, we've seen quite a few different things in the last 10 years that have shocked us. We recovered from 9/11. We recovered from our Gulf of Mexico continually being polluted by oil wells that are making the news and ones that aren't. Nature kind of takes care of itself, and we're part of that. And even our demise, would be part of nature. I mean, that's part of nature's plan. I mean, getting ready for the next thing that's coming our way. But however, I think that we've become a little bit too bold and too proud of our place on the planet, and knowing that, again, geologically here, we don't mean much, and we're just a glint in time, I think if you took, if you took and you compressed all of time and you looked at a some stratigraphy of our planet, and you took a sample that, let's just say, it's a mile deep. You know, 4 centimeters of that is humanity. The rest is all the other time that's occurred on this planet of everything else before us. So, you know, we're here probably temporarily. I can't imagine that we would be here forever, because there's so many different things that try to keep us from being here every day. And we've figured it out for a while, and who knows? I mean, this planet may become too toxic or too something else that we can't survive, but something will survive, and there always probably will be something here as long as there's this ball floating there. But will aliens save the planet? No. Why do I think that? Because to us, you know, we're fairly meaningless. They certainly want to find out about us. And why would that be? Well, they may walk amongst us. They might be here. They may need to deal with us on a daily basis, and that would be important. But you know, for a group or an organism or whatever it is that's been out in space and possibly have been there much longer than we have, because that would only make sense. One of the questions that popped into my head years ago was, you know, where did these come from? And what popped into my head was, they've always been here. Always been. Always. So, you know, and where did they come from? They didn't come from anywhere. They're space travelers. So they're out in space. They're a product of space. Just like we have a hard time thinking about that. I mean, we have a hard time conceptualizing how could something be created in space and live and survive and travel. Well, we did that. We were created out in space from nothing. You know, Carl Sagan, of course, the famous phrase, calls us star stuff, and that's what we are. So it wouldn't be unheard of, or there's actually a precedent, us, who aren't a very good example, but, you know, there are organisms out there that probably were created just out there in space. They became travelers through space in some organic or inorganic way, however they do it. But, you know, they stumbled upon us, and they're interacting with us for whatever reason. And I don't think in the long run we matter too much to them. So they're going to do whatever they can to survive. And if we don't, they'll still be there. I think they'll be there a lot longer than we. Sad to say.
Very good. I love it. All the different angles, all the different takes on it. It's, I think we need so much more of this, and I want to do more shows like this where I can gather up people who have had different experiences, different contact experiences, whether they be negative, positive, in between. I think it's important that we all get together and understand this and discuss it like we just did. But not only this, but I think that what's lacking in this whole field, of this fringe field, is that researchers need to get together from all fields, not only from UFO, but the paranormal. Ghost hunters need to get with UFO researchers. UFO researchers need to get with Bigfoot researchers. Everybody needs to get together and compare notes, I believe, because I think it's all connected in some way. And if we did that, we could understand this whole phenomenon a whole lot better. And once again, thank you all so much for coming by tonight. I want to go around one more time. Tell us all where we can find a little bit about your work before you go. Let's start with Karen.
Thank you, Chris. And by the way, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure for me to do the show with all of you. Thank you. Basically, I operate through my website, www.karenholtonhealthcoach.com. KarenHolton healthcoach.com, and also my YouTube channel, Karen Holton. And I'm also available on Facebook, and I am soon hopefully going to branch out to some other platforms. I forget, was I supposed to say anything else?
Anything you want to say about yourself before you go?
I just also want to just validate everyone's experience. And if people start to think they may have had an experience, or they start lucid dreaming, or if they start to just hear that little bubbling up in the peripheral of their consciousness, pay attention. And if you're from a religious background and you're afraid, call upon your God, call upon Christ, call upon, you know, angels, whatever it is that you need, because I believe all of that is real. And just one other little thing I want to say is I wish the nuts and bolts, science-oriented, wanting physical proof type of researchers could spend more time with those of us who've had the experience and don't have the technical scientific background, which I guess is what you were saying, Chris. I would love to see that too.
Definitely. And Dave, any final thoughts? And tell us where we can find some stuff you got upcoming.
Okay. I get into the regression part of it. I know I went to a hypnotist one time and it backfired. She fell asleep and she's the one who saw the she did. I was laying in the couch and she was counting backwards from 10. She fell out and I was talking and I looked at her and I said, I can't go out. I hear the towels hummed. I get that hum. I don't know if anybody has heard about that, but I had to go over and shake her, and she was had her eyes closed. She was sitting straight up. She wasn't asleep, but she was out of it. And then she said, "Oh my God, that huge triangle that you saw, that was the rapture." And that's all she said. And she looked at me kind of strange, and I said, "I guess this session's over with, isn't it?" Yeah. So that's my experience with hypnosis.
Did you have to pay for that, Dave?
Yeah, I did. But it was, you know what though? She cut a deal 50% off, you know, because, but no, regressions are what I depend on. I go back and I can see, I've had some very lucid regressions and I've been able to, I don't have to write them down because they're burned into my memory. But what I'm doing now, I'm doing hosting, part of the time, half the time right now. And I do guest spots. I talked to a scientist who dealt with the 12 feet to 15 feet giants, and it was very interesting. Sometimes I get guests on that you really, you want to find out more because you don't know that much about that subject. But I'm going to be on KCOR. I'm on Global Enlightenment Network. I've got some big interviews planned, Grant Cameron, Linda Moulton Howe. And I'm getting into more of that. I know a few people involved in that, been involved with Grant Cameron quite a bit. So I just love learning from, like I think somebody else said that a while ago, learning bits and pieces from each person you meet. And that's where I'm at with that.
Very good. And Cameron, any final thoughts? And let us know where we can find your podcast and all that good stuff.
Karen and Dave, good to hear from you. And Dave, again, good to hear from you as always. Chris, thank you very much. You three are the type of people that I like to have on my podcast. It's My Alien Life Podcast. The website's myalienpodcast.com. And the reason why I like people that are real people is because they keep it real. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, people, you hear this all the time, but it's, You have professional people out there who make a circuit and they're everywhere. And I know everybody loves hearing them and most people love hearing them, but I just can't believe the response I get for somebody new that I haven't had on before, you know, and people go nuts and then they appear on a bunch of different shows and they're well known and disappear for a while. But I think it's really important that, the people who haven't had a voice yet get that voice. And yeah, I've had people like Whitley Strieber and I love having Richard Doty, but you know, I got this guy on, his name is BJ Evans and it's just crazy. I mean, he just called me out of the blue or got a hold of me out of the blue and I recorded a bunch of stuff from him and it's mind blowing. And there's information there I don't even know what to do with. I try to make everything clean and concise and very professional, but it's just, it's really hard sometimes. So, I love feedback. So my point is, get a hold of me. I love hearing feedback. I love, people when they say, "Hey, get a hold of this guy." You know, I've been texting me about some situation that he had that's very interesting. So I love that. And I have this guy up in Canada, Dave, who has done that many, many times and suggested guests that I've had on my show, and they're the best. So I appreciate people who listen out there, and I appreciate, you know, people who listen to Chris's show, because you know, this is kind of the future of the media, I believe. I mean, we're getting to the point where people are going to go outside again. They're not just going to sit in their bedroom watching YouTube, but maybe they'll listen to podcasts on a bicycle or something like that. That's going to happen. I think we're going to see more of that. Kids are going to get back out, and the world's going to change, and it's going to be a better place. And I always remind people, just be good to each other, because, you know, we all came from the same star stuff, and we're part of that. And there's a link that keeps us together that's deeper than we ever could possibly imagine. And I'm very grateful to be part of that and that this community. And I'm glad to know people like you. So thank you very much.
Very well said. Thank you all so much. That was awesome. And I will have you all on again. You all have a great night.
Thank you. Good night,
Chris. Good night, Dave.